Welcome back to the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Professor Phil Joyce, a budget expert at the University of Maryland and author of the recent IBM Center report, The Cost of Budget Uncertainty, Analyzing the Impacts of Late Appropriation. Professor Joyce, I'd like to understand what prompted your interest in this research area, and would you tell us more about your study methodology and who participated in your research?
Well, the truth is that I simply believed, and I believed more as every year went by and we kind of were repeating the same dance that we had had in the past year, that at least outside of the executive branch of the federal government, many people were largely numb to the effects of funding uncertainty and government by CR. That is, that the assumption seemed to be that as long as we avoid a government shutdown, then everything is okay. And I wanted to document that government by CR is not okay. And, you know, it's hard to see for the people, frankly, who can do the most about this, which are members of Congress, where they see the effects of this. That is, you'd be hard-pressed to point to a member of Congress who was not reelected because they can't pass appropriations bills on time. And so there's this kind of notion, you know, implicitly that this is a cost-free endeavor. This is just the way we do things. And I wanted to try to document the fact that while it may be the way we do things, it doesn't mean that the way we do things is okay, and that if we could find a way to avoid doing it this way, there wouldn't be positive effects. In terms of how I did the research, I was lucky to have a number of reports, especially from the Congressional Research Service and the GAO, that documented some of these effects. And I know I mentioned it earlier, but you know, this 2009 study by GAO, if your listeners are interested in knowing more about this, this was really a terrific piece of work and saved me a lot of trouble because it documented a lot of these effects. Of course, it documented them leading up, you know, up to and including maybe around 2007 or 2008. There were a number of things that had happened since then. But, you know, but if they hadn't done this work, I would have had to, you know, to sort of recreate it myself. I then augmented that work with interviews of federal agency employees from a number of different agencies and also contractors and some representatives of state and local government groups who gave me a lot of good additional insights. And so this was a sum of this archival work, the work that had been done by others, and then this interview work that I did in order to augment that.
Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I currently teach at the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland, and we have at the School of Public Policy, we're mostly a graduate school. We have a master's degree program in public policy, a PhD, and several other master's programs, and we're really training the next generation of government workers, but increasingly also people that go into nonprofits. And so, you know, this is kind of what I do for a living, is to teach budgeting and teach budgeting to kind of bright young graduate students. And I've taught at several other places. I've been at Maryland a couple of years. I taught at George Washington University for 11 years. I was also at Syracuse University for 5 years. In addition to my work in as an academic, I have 12 years of public sector work experience, and I worked 7 years for the state of Illinois and 5 years at the U.S. Congressional Budget Office. And it was really the time that I spent at CBO that I think most sort of spurred my interest in this particular area. There were many good things that I got out of working at CBO, but one of them was to be sort of immersed into the budget process and understand kind of how it works and how it doesn't work. My research interests run broadly to the federal budget process and also to connections, either real or imagined, between performance information and the budget. I did an earlier report actually for the IBM Center that was focused on these linkages between performance and the budget. And I want to give a brief plug. My most recent book is on the role of the Congressional Budget Office in the policy process. It was published by Georgetown Press in 2011. But that's really one of my main interests is in sort of thinking about the role of information and analysis and how that information and analysis and how what I call in that book at least honest numbers can influence the budget process.
Well, that's a great way to transition. I when I was reading your report, The Cost of Budget Uncertainty, Analyzing the Impact of Late Appropriations for the IBM Center, I noticed the terrific job you did setting the historical context. But it doesn't stop there. You also outline a very practical, actionable recommendations, and I'd like to explore each of them. Would you highlight the key recommendations you offer in your Center report? What are some of the key benefits of pursuing these recommendations? And more particularly, are there any significant obstacles to implementing them?
Well, I think, you know, it was interesting when I got to the point where I was working on recommendations. I almost kind of left this out, but I thought, you know, I could leave it out or I could put it in bold, and I ended up putting it in bold, and that was a recommendation that the Congress should just fulfill its constitutional responsibility and routinely enact appropriations before the beginning of the fiscal year. I mentioned to one of the people in a federal agency that I had interviewed that I had put this in the report, and that person's response was, "Did it make you feel better?" You know, and that was essentially to say, "Well, okay, but now what?" So the now what is, okay, well, let's say the Congress isn't going to do that. What are the things that we could think about that might actually make the situation better? There are a few of those. One of them is, I think that more funding should be made available on a multi-year basis, or what's called a no-year basis. Agencies that have less money that is available only for 1 year have an easier time navigating this process. And so to think about, are there cases where we can actually allow agencies to spend money over a longer period of time, as is true for the Department of Defense, for example? They have a lot of money that can be spent over a longer period of time. I think the reason that tends not to happen is because the Congress is trying to keep more control. Mm-hmm. And so there is this sort of trade-off between the Congress having control and agencies having more flexibility. But, you know, I think that the Congress should consider giving up some of that control, since the problems that are being caused by federal agencies are largely a result of congressional inaction to begin with. A second recommendation I had, which is one that strikes some people as sort of odd, is that the Congress should simply stop engaging in CRs at all. That is, the Congress should be prohibited from enacting continuing resolutions. Now, the reason that's considered odd by some people is that it actually flies in the face of what is more frequently a recommendation, which is that you should have what are called automatic continuing resolutions. That is, the Congress should not have to actually take action in order to pass a continuing resolution. If there isn't an appropriation, you should just have a continuing resolution. I think that just makes it easier to have a continuing resolution, and I'd actually like to make it harder. So I think if you prohibited continuing resolutions, what would end up happening is that you would have two choices. You either shut the government down or you pass a budget. And if that's the choice, I think it would make more transparent the effect of inaction, which is actually what I want to do. So that was my second recommendation. Third, I think that if there are CRs, they should not just be funding at the prior year's level, but they should permit inflationary increases. And the reason for that is because, you know, often what happens is, you know, because inflation is going to occur, a CR does not permit agencies to keep doing all the things they're already doing. It actually requires them to cut back on some things they're already doing in order to finance inflation, which I think is, you know, runs counter to what should be the spirit of what a CR should be. Fourth, I think that the Congress should get out of the business, or at least reduce the amount that they micromanage the budget execution process. In many cases now, if the agency gets an appropriation, the Congress wants to see a spending plan from that agency and implicitly to approve that spending plan prior to the agency being able to actually carry out the budget. Well, that's fine if you did the budget on time. But, you know, if you're doing it 6 months into the fiscal year, all that does is further compress the time period in which the budget needs to be executed. And again, if the Congress isn't going to do its work on time, I think they should sort of not get involved in that kind of micromanagement. And then the final thing I would say is that if they're going to be CRs, they should be limited to a small number, one or two per year, that don't extend past the end of the calendar year, that we can sort of put up with, you know, the kind of three-month delay in the appropriations process. It's not optimal, but it's not awful. But once you get into 6 months into the fiscal year and once you get into, you know, 5 or 10 separate CRs, that's where the costs begin to really go up.
So as we close our conversation today, I want to get your sense of the future, the immediate future given the fiscal realities of today. But more importantly, in your mind, do you think we can reverse the current budgetary uncertainty that seems to mark today's operation of the government?
Well, I think the two are related. I mean, if we actually were able to develop a multi-year plan for dealing with the fiscal cliff and reducing the budget deficit, and that plan established a path for discretionary spending, then I think there would be fewer things to disagree about going forward, and that might itself make it easier to reach agreement on the budget and make the process more timely. Now, then the question is, you know, the sort of, I don't know whether it's a $2 trillion question or a $4 trillion question. It depends on the day. But is the Congress or are the Congress and the president going to be able to reach some kind of an agreement? You know, I've spent a long time, I'd say at least 10 years, being pessimistic about the federal budget process. I'm not that pessimistic right now. Since the election, I have heard a number of people say, well, we have the status quo. President Obama is still president. The Senate is still controlled by the Democrats. The House is still controlled by the Republicans. Nothing is going to change. I don't think that's actually true. I think there are a number of reasons to be a little bit more hopeful about that. First, I think it's significant that the president doesn't have to run for re-election. The president does not have to think about whatever actions he takes are going to be sort of perceived by people who might be voting for him or not voting for him 4 years from now. Second, I don't think it's in anyone's interest to really go off the cliff. Now, there is a question of what it means to really go off the cliff. I think that it's not necessarily true that if we don't reach an agreement by January 1st, that means that all of these things are necessarily going to have a big effect. I mean, what it's, you know, where people are going to see this most immediately is that you know, the IRS will have to adjust the withholding tables. People will see more taken out of their paychecks. Now, that could be undone later on. That is, we take money from people, we could give it back to them. I think the kind of most likely scenario, in my view, is that we figure out a way to keep ourselves from going off the cliff in the short run and kind of set ourselves up for something that happens in 2013 that is a sort of larger debate on the budget. And the reason I think it's more likely to happen in 2013 is because I think that enough members of Congress will figure out that they don't want to be running for election or re-election in 2014 with this big issue still hanging over their head, that it will be in their interest to do something in 2013. The reason they're not going to wait till 2014 is because at least if you do something in 2013, you give it some chance to begin to take effect, and also you give people a chance to sort of forget some of the pain that may have been inflicted on them in the process of reaching this agreement. Because there's no way that we're ultimately going to reach this agreement without taking something away from someone that they have now. I mean, there's either we're going to have to spend less money and we're going to have to tax people more. The question is, where are we going to spend less and who are we going to tax and how much? I see something happening. If you asked me the next question, which is exactly how do I see it happening, I have no idea. I just think that it seems to me that the stars are sort of aligned in a way that they haven't been in a long time.
Professor Joyce, I want to thank you for joining us today, but more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your recent IBM Center report, The Cost of Budget Uncertainty, Analyzing the Impact of Late Appropriations.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and all the good questions, and I hope that people get something out of the report if they read it.
This has been a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Professor Phil Joyce of the University of Maryland and author of the recent IBM Center report, The Cost of Budget Uncertainty. You may download or order a free copy of this and all Center reports at businessofgovernment.org. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.